on the topic of the name of God. So we're going to close it out tonight. Amen. And, you know, the scripture that I had been using was from Proverbs, which says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe." So to end out our topic for this month on the name of God, I just wanted to touch upon what Jesus said when he, in Matthew 6, was asked to teach the disciples to pray. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's almost the first thought that's in the prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." And of course, it was prophesied in Isaiah that his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And on Sunday, we went over the seven titles or names that Jesus called himself that are found in the book of John. I was hoping that we would be able to go over the other seven titles that Jesus called himself in Revelation, but maybe we'll do that on another Tuesday night. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And at times during our Christian walk, we really need him to fulfill all of those names. In the Old Testament, the names were given as he fulfilled a need, right? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord that is our banner or our covering, and so on. And so it was when he fulfilled a need that was revealed in the attribute of his name. Well, this is going to be a kind of a wrap-up of some of the things that I have taught over the past 3-4 weeks. And let's look at that. The first thing, as I said, is that the person who is calling the name, it shows relationship. It's the parents that name the child, right? The child does not name himself. Any of you have dogs? Who has a dog or a cat? All right. Did you have a name for your dog, Sister Stephanie?
Yes.
What's his or her name?
Jackson.
Jackson. And did you give him that name?
Yes.
Why did you call him Jackson? All right. Well, that kind of makes sense, I guess. I, of course, am too lazy to have a pet. Personally, my kids kept on. So we got pets that were somewhat easy to look after because I knew in the end who would actually be looking after the pets. So we had goldfish. But then we got rabbits, and that was not easy at all. But we never had a dog. But we see that it's the person who gives the name is the person who is in dominion. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that first name for God is Elohim. And of course, it means God. It's a general name deriving it from Canaanite language. And it means God, deity, divinity. But it's also a plural. I am in the Hebrew or Aramaic. It signifies a plural. And so people have used the fact that it was a plural and translated it to mean that it shows a multiplicity or the Trinity. But that's not what it's actually trying to bring forth. It's not trying to prove that there are three in the Godhead, because in the Hebrew, for something to be a plural, all of the other words in the sentence have to be of a plural nature, and they're not. They're in the singular. So what this is really trying to say is the majesty of his nature. Amen. Because as I said before in the first week, who wrote the book of Genesis according to the Bible? God did, but through who did he use? Who was his human agent? Moses. And Moses was what nationality was he? A Jew. And so if Moses wrote this, did Moses think that there were three, that it meant three? No. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one." So Moses was the one that wrote it. So the one that wrote it is the best person to interpret what he meant. So what it actually means is it's a plurality of God's attributes. Amen. We see that when the Queen of England speaks, she doesn't say I, even though she's one person. She always says we, because she's speaking on behalf of the state. So she says, we are going to do this, or we are, she means the state, her government is going to do this. So when it says Elohim, it is in the same sense, it is speaking in the royal we. So it means God of gods, that's what Elohim means, or judge of judges, because the word Elohim is also used in the Old Testament when speaking of a judge. In fact, it's also, to show you that it's not so much of a personal name, it's also used to refer to Satan in when he is acting as a judge. So it is not the personal name of God. It is just the general, generic name of a God, like we would say the Hindu god Vishnu. But it's not God's personal name. It was a Canaanite word for God. But it expresses the plurality of his attributes, because God has many unique attributes. He is immortal. He is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere. Amen. So he has a plurality of unique attributes which are expressed in this word. In Genesis 2:4, we see where the next name for God is given. So the first time, the generic word for God, it's Elohim. The next time where there's a change for the name of God is in Genesis 2:4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. There is a change now of name. And that word Lord in Hebrew is the same four-letter words as was given to Moses from the burning bush. So when you see in your Bible, it's capitalized L-O-R-D. That's that four letters in the Hebrew, the Yod, He, Vav, He, that was not pronounced. There was no way of pronouncing that because it was written with, you know, four consonants, Y-H-V-H. But to make it pronounceable, people put the A in there to make it Yahweh. But that was not what was originally given. It was just the four letters, so it was unpronounceable. So we see a new revelation for the name of God. So the first one was Elohim in Genesis 1. In Genesis 2:4, he is now called Lord God, the I Am God. The I Am God made the earth and the heavens. And so when they put the A and the in there to make it Jehovah, it came to mean the self-existing one, because if it's I am, and that's all there is, that's what it really means, the self-existing one. And on Sunday, we talked about the fact that that was from the verb. What was the verb? The I am is from the verb to be. Amen. So this name, the Lord God, capitalized, is used in Scripture when emphasizing God's might. He is the Lord God, his creative power, and his attributes of justice and rulership. And so we see that for the first few verses, chapters of the Bible, first we have Elohim as the name that God is called by. Then in chapter 2, we see a little bit more told to us. He's called the Lord God. And then the next time there is a change of name, is that a new name is brought forth for God, is in Genesis 15. And it's, let me read it, Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God. Now you notice it's in lowercase. And so this is not the same word as the I am. And what it is Adonai, and it means Lord. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? So here now we're getting a third name applied to God. And each time the name is given, it's giving us a slight little new angle, new look, a new revelation. So Abram said, Lord God, or Adonai, or Master, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And of course, Eleazar means what? Anyone remember what Eleazar means? Comforter. Because right there in the Bible is a whole mystery. We find a little bit later in Genesis 26, I believe, from 24 and 26, after Isaac is taken up into the mountain to be sacrificed, he's not written about again until Eleazar, the comforter, goes to get his bride. Amen. So the father sends the comforter, Eleazar, to go and get his bride. And we see what's being modeled is Christ and the church. That's what's really being modeled there. Isn't that something? See, the names were not chosen haphazardly or just to fill space or just to because of their sound. But it was they had meanings that God was wanting to use to tell a story. Now, the next change of name or the next revelation of God's name is in Exodus 6, verse 3. And I appeared, this is God now speaking to Moses from the burning bush. And he's explaining to Moses that Abraham really didn't understand all of my nature because my nature actually is revealed through my name. And I appeared unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah, or the I Am, was I not known to them, because that was only revealed to Moses from the burning bush. So Abraham called God by the name Lord God, or God Almighty, or El Shaddai, and all the way down to where Moses asked him, what shall I tell them? Who shall I tell them hath sent me? Then God revealed another part of his nature by saying, tell them that I am hath sent you. But by my name Jehovah, and of course, because the four letters can't be pronounced, they added all of the vowels, I should say, so as to make it Yahweh. And of course, over time, the Y was changed into a J to make it Jehovah, but it represents the four letters of what they call the tetragrammaton. So Moses was given a new revelation about that God is the I Am. The scripture says he is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Now, I was looking at something during this week, and I've been doing some studying about suffering. And you have a lot of people, preachers, who tell you that, you know, we're supposed to always be triumphant. And yes, that's true. But Jesus said, in this life, you shall have what? You shall have tribulation. Because the Bible talks about Jesus is that he suffered. And he said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up what? Your cross. We are going to be triumphant. But what Paul taught the early church and what he taught Timothy was not that we are going to we are going to always have the fairy tale. What he said instead is he promised power over death. If we suffer with him, isn't that what he said? If we suffer with him, then we shall reign with him. See, there were different experiences in the Old Testament, and they were related, believe it or not, to the revelation of the name. Let's go on. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. We see that God then told them that there was something special about his name that was unique to the people of Israel. In fact, the word Semitic comes from the word Shem. And that word Shem means name. So when we talk about Semitic people, it's really, we're talking about the people of the name. Do you know who's supposed to be the people of the name? We are. Amen. We are truly the people of the name. But God told them, even in the Old Testament, that they had to put the name on. How do you put the name on? Well, let's look at that. In Numbers 6:23, God told Moses and said unto him to tell Aaron, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord, and that word L-O-R-D is capitalized, so that means the I am, bless thee and keep thee. The Lord, the I am, make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord, the I am, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Isn't that awesome? God told Moses to tell Aaron that that was the time he was to call the name. The Ten Commandments, one of the commandments is, says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. And so they took that very literally. They would not pronounce it. They would not say it in case they broke that commandment. But on the Day of Atonement, that was when the high priest, when the sin offering was accepted, he would come out and he would hold up his hand. And it is said that he would hold up the fingers in the shape of the Hebrew letter shin, which is like a W. And it would be for the name of God. And he would pronounce the name. He would call the name out over the people of Israel. And that was what, in the Old Testament, meant putting on the name. As they were in obeisance, as their heads were bowed, as they were laying prostrate, in thousands, millions of them, in front of the tabernacle, the high priest would come out and he would raise his hand and make the sign of the shin, which represented El Shaddai, or the name of the Lord, and he would bless the people and call the name of God over them. That's when we do the same thing when we are baptized. In fact, the Bible says in the New Testament, everything you do in name, in or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. So God commanded Aaron that he should call the name over the people. And that's why they were called the people of the name, because it was only on that time, on those occasions, where the name of the Lord was called. And verse 27 says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's why we can always call the name. And yet, they did not have the full revelation of what the name was. Amen? They did not have the full revelation of what the name was. When Jacob was wrestling with the angel and he asked him, what is the name? He said, it's too wonderful for you. You can't have that yet. It's too wonderful for you. Because the name had so much revelation in it. Amen. So we see that the fulfillment of this was they would call the I am over the people of Israel. Now, I want to show you something that with each revelation and change of name, what did I say? What happens when there's a change of name? There should be also a change of nature and of relationship. And I want you to see the change of name, change of relationship. The Bible says that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew him as God Almighty. That's a certain level and a certain relationship. But the law was not yet given, right? The law was not yet given under that name. They knew him as God Almighty, El Shaddai, the self-existent one, the one who provided. But there was still not that level of closeness yet. No one still could come totally into his presence. So now we see that he was almighty in that he was able to save Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. He manifested his might in that ability. He was almighty to bless Isaac and Rebekah, and he was almighty to deliver Jacob from Esau. So we see that with every name that God reveals, there is a certain relationship that comes about in the revelation of the name. So let's look at this. Exodus 23:20. Now he's revealed himself as the I Am. And now there's going to be a new change of relationship that is going to be more demanding than the relationship before. Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel. This is when they were coming out of Egypt. God said, behold, I'm sending an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now, when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, God pretty much left it up to him where he went. If you read it correctly, God just told him, anywhere you choose to walk. But now, because there is a change of name, God is taking more of an active, he's saying, no, I'm going to lead you this time. I let Abraham walk where he wanted to, but this time I need to lead you out of where you are coming from. And because of the change of name, there is a change of relationship. Behold, I send an angel before thee, and to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Why? For the I Am, for that name, that relationship is in him. This is the name of the I Am. And when you're relating to God on the I Am, it's not a place of grace necessarily. For he will not pardon your transgressions. Why? For my name is in him. What was the name? The Lord God, the I Am God, Jehovah, or Yahweh Elohim. That's what that says in the Hebrew. Yahweh, or the I Am Elohim. So we see that under that name, you had the law. And under the law, you messed up. There wasn't much grace for you. If you're relating to God under the law, then you're going to have to deal with the burning bush. You're going to have to deal with, you better take your shoes off, because the place you're standing is holy ground. Amen. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Why? Because the name we're relating to now is Jehovah Elohim. So those people today who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, they're actually relating to God under the wrong name, under the name that doesn't really give them any grace. This is what the scripture says. Don't mess with him. Don't provoke him. You better obey it exactly, because the name that this relationship is under now is Jehovah Elohim. Amen. Elohim, remember, meant judge. One of the meanings of Elohim was judge. You're relating to God under the relationship of judge. Hebrews 2:2 tells us that, or confirms that, for it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. See, there are some people today say we have to call God Jehovah and not Jesus. I don't want to do that, because I know that that name relationship, I'm not going to find grace. If my relationship with God is Jehovah Elohim, I'm going to be in a hard place. Because under that relationship, the name relationship meant God. He is my judge. He is my judge. There was not mercy and a lot of grace under that name. Remember what happened when the angel came and spoke to the shepherds on the hillside overlooking Bethlehem? What did they say? Shalom, or peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Why? Because there's a new name coming. Men don't have to relate anymore under Jehovah is my judge. Amen. The breastplate of judgment is what it was called before. That was the relationship men had under the law. Yes, the law was our schoolmaster, Paul said, to do what? To bring us to Christ. You know, I am so glad that I was born in the age of grace. Amen. You know, Hebrews tells us that all these died in faith. Hebrews 11 says, all these died in faith, having not received the promise. They related under different names. That's what God is trying to reveal. He said, Abraham only knew me under this name. God Almighty, he saw my power. But I'm revealing to you a newer name, the I Am. The ever-present God, the God who can get you out of Egypt. But still under that name, you're relating to me as God is my judge. Yes, amen. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Exodus 3:2. Let me read from Hebrews. So Elohim as judge, my name is in him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the reward. Numbers 15:35. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. This was the man picking up sticks. Picking up sticks. Now, do you notice it says the Lord, L-O-R-D, capitalized? Right? Now, I know people take that to mean God himself, but I have taught that actually was the angel. Because remember what it said, I have put my I am in him. He's going to tell you what to do. And he won't forgive you. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. He was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And because of that, under that name relationship, he died. And the angel of the Lord in Exodus 3:2 appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. What does fire represent normally? Judgment. The relationship that Israel had with God, the kickoff of it was fire, a burning bush, and the name that represented that God is my judge, Jehovah Elohim. See, there was a name that God had not revealed yet that was missing. That was God's intent. You see, through Scripture, God has progressively revealed himself to mankind. And he had to do that in that way because of our sin, which separated. Let me look at this, and I kind of mentioned this already. But in Genesis 32:24, when Jacob was wrestling, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He wanted a new relationship, but it wasn't time yet. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him, but he didn't tell him the name. In Hosea, it explains something about this incident. Hosea 12:4, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, which is the house of God, and there he spake with us. There was a name that had yet to be revealed that was going to change the relationship of man and God. Let's show you again in the Old Testament that there was this name that had yet to be revealed. This is with Manoah and his wife, who were the parents of Samson. And Manoah encounters this angel. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, again, look at it, L-O-R-D. So it was this angel that had come out of Egypt. What is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said, why askest thus after my name? Seeing it is a secret. Actually, in the Hebrew, the word means wonderful. You see, there was a name relationship that was yet to come, that was not yet to be revealed until in Luke or in Matthew, whichever one you want to go to. the revelation of the name. You know, people call us the people of the name, or we're Jesus only. I wear that proudly. I don't want to relate to God as Jehovah Elohim, the Lord is my judge. Because this name changed the relationship. And you shall bring forth, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Because that name has a completely different relationship meaning. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus said, I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Who did he hang around with most of the time? In the stories in the Gospels, who did you find Jesus hanging around with? Sinners, prostitutes, drunks. You know, under the law, those people couldn't have come anywhere near the temple. Lepers. Woman with the issue of blood who should not have been out on the street. Under the law, she should have not have been out in the street, because under the law, that defiled. But you're seeing now a new relationship because there's a new name. The name that saves, that delivers, that redeems. This name is not about condemnation. And you'll see that. This name is a completely different relationship. When Jesus was going past the Samaritan town and they wouldn't let him in, two disciples said, let's call down fire. Just like Elijah. And he said, you don't understand the Spirit. I did not come to destroy men's lives, but to do what? To save. That's why we relate today under the name of Jesus. Yes, you can call him Jehovah Elohim if you want. But that's going backwards. That's the old covenant. This is a new covenant. There is a new mediator. Amen? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he shall save his people. Not destroy his people. Save. That's why Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation. Saving, in other words. For there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It was Jesus' coming and the revelation of a new name that gave us a new relationship. So he was able to hang around with harlots and prostitutes and all the kind of offshoots and drug addicts of their day, because there was a change of relationship. This name was not Jehovah is my judge, but Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is my redeemer. This was a name that ushered in grace and forgiveness. Yeshua, it really means redeemer. He shall save. He shall save. Not he shall judge. That's why when the woman was brought caught in the very act of adultery, they said, under the law, under Moses' law, she should be stoned to death. And he ignored them. Just started writing. Eventually, when they were all gone, he said, woman, where art thou thine accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. And what did he say? Neither do I. That's astonishing. Remember now, under the old name, a man picking up sticks was stoned. You don't want to be calling Jehovah Elohim. It's a good name, but unless you're going to be perfect, you don't want to be relating to God in that way. I rather say Jesus. Like the blind man, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Because of the change of name, change of relationship. That's why the angels declare peace, shalom, on earth, goodwill towards men. His name means Redeemer. And here is the explicit scripture, John 3:17. Everybody knows the previous verses, right? John 3:16. For God so loved. Amen. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to be the judge at that time, to put people to death. But that the world through him might be saved. That was the saving name. So people who want to worship God as Jehovah have no understanding what they're asking, what they're doing. Believe it or not, Jesus is not your judge. That's not the revelation of the name. Gospel is the good news, right? The good news. It wouldn't be good news that he came to judge me. And he said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, that does not mean that there isn't going to be a judgment, because there are still some names to be revealed. We read about it in Revelation. There was, in the Revelation, John sees someone on a white horse, and he has a name. This name, he said, written on his thigh is the Word of God. And it turns out that the Word of God is going to be the judge. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are going to judge you. John 12:47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge as Elohim, but to save the world. But to save the world. Jumping back into Genesis 48, Jacob on his deathbed said this, speaking about that incident with the angel, he said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. The angel probably in all likelihood could have killed Jacob, but he didn't. The angel which redeemed me, in other words, saved me, blessed the lads. He was on his deathbed and he was blessing his children. And let my name be named on them. Which name was he really talking about? Remember, he had had a change of relationship too, because he had had a change of name. Right? You shall no longer be called Jacob, for as a prince thou hast had power with God. Bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. He's speaking about the angel. He says, the angel which redeemed me. The angel which redeemed me. See, Jesus did not come to destroy. He did not even come to judge when he came that time. But when he comes as the new name, there's a name yet to come. Right now, his name is Jesus. But when he comes again, he's coming as the Word of God. The Word of God. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world. People believe us Christians are really condemning types. And maybe some of us are. But if we understood it, the only thing that can condemn and judge is the Word of God. Jesus himself did not. Jesus did not reveal himself as Elohim, the judge, but as Redeemer. Job prophetically declared that in Job 19:25, for he says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job somehow, through the Spirit, I believe, was given a revelation that God was going to have another change of relationship and reveal himself not as Jehovah Elohim, but as Jesus the Savior. Today is born in Bethlehem, Jesus the Lord. That's why the angels were rejoicing. And Job here got a glimpse that Jesus is our Redeemer. We don't have to relate to God as judge. But when we say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Even the ones who were not Jews, because of their faith, the Roman soldier, the Roman centurion, the woman by the well, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman who had the child who was sick, because of their faith, Jesus sent deliverance. But as I said, there is still a name that is supposed to come forth, and it's written in Revelation. He said, I saw a white horse, and he had a new name. See, in each age, God has related through a name. I am so glad we're in the age of grace, and that name is Jesus. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Jesus, under the revelation of Jesus, that's not the judge. Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Here it is. Here is the name that is going to be the judge. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And here we are having the revelation of that name. That name is called the Word of God. Right now, God took upon himself a human body. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points, such as we, yet without sin. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that that Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the begotten. But although Jesus did not come to condemn, and he did not come to destroy, there is a name that represents judgment. And it's revealed here. The last word here, the last name that is revealed is in Revelation. And it's called the Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So if you reject spirit and you reject life, that means there's only death. Right? In John 6:63 says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So when we reject the spirit and the life, we're actually choosing death. We're choosing death. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. I hope you have seen how God has used his revelation of his names as a marker for relationship. If you could stand with me, I'm going to finish a little bit early. I know I say I have lots of favorite scriptures, but this is also one of my very, very favorite scriptures. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. We all need to meditate upon that. Do you understand what the scripture said? That he is able to keep you from falling and to present worthless me, no good me, fault-ridden me, faultless. He's able to do that because of his righteousness and because of faith in his name. That's what Peter and James said to the man who was lame by the door. And they said, look on me, because he was expecting money. Look on us, we don't have any money. But such as we have, you know what we have? We have the saving name. In the name of Jesus. The redeeming name. It encapsulates Jehovah Rapha, because Jesus is our healer. It encapsulates Jehovah Nissi, because Jesus is our banner. Amen. It encapsulates Jehovah Jireh, because Jesus is our provider. It encapsulates, he is the door. Amen. He is the I am. He is all of that. And they said, such as we have, we give you in the name of Jesus, the name of redemption, not Jehovah Elohim, not as a judge. Rise up and walk. And then the people got, you know, like, what's happening? How did you do that? And they said it wasn't even just saying the name. It was faith in the name. That's what makes the difference. It's faith in the name. You can say Jesus all you want, but if you don't believe, it doesn't help you. But here is a verse that we should meditate on. Unto him that is able. I want you all to say those three words. That is able. Say it again. That is able. That is able. Amen. You need to say that till you believe it. No matter what you are facing, no matter what you're going through, that is able to keep you, to keep me from falling. And then the next incredible part, to present us, present you faultless. Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And I highlighted this because I wanted you to understand that this is Jesus, because he is the Savior. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And then we all say amen. Hallelujah. You see, there is power in the name. There is meaning in the name. It's just not any old name. It was a secret. The angel told Jacob when he wanted to know, he says, I'm sorry, it's a secret. When Manoah wanted to know, I'm sorry, it's too wonderful for you to know yet. Isaiah was given a glimpse by just giving the titles. He will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. It's not meaning that we don't have issues or troubles or that we just wish away everything that bothers us. But what it is telling us, that he's able to keep. Despite all our stumbles, despite the earthquakes that come in our life, he's able to keep us, you, from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's awesome. That's the power of the name. And when they asked, how did this man who was there for years, lame, how did this happen? They said, it was through faith in the name. The saving name. We're going to close this Bible study. I know it's been short, but I hope you have got the understanding that every time there was a change of name, there was a change of relationship. And we're in the best relationship there is right now. I want to know him as Jesus, not as Jehovah Elohim. I want to know him as Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you right now, Jesus. Lord, that under your name, there is redemption, there is healing, there is power. Hallelujah. That you are able to save to the uttermost. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you just touch us, that you build faith in our hearts, that you take us to another level, that, Lord, we have strength to endure, that you touch us in our bodies, touch us in our souls. Give us direction, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. But, Lord, through faith in your name, Lord God, we know nothing is impossible for you. Lord, I pray you meet our needs every day. Give us of your daily bread, oh God. Take us through this week, oh God. Uphold us with your love and your grace. We thank you right now, Jesus, for all that you're doing in our lives. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, give God a praise offering tonight. Amen.